This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be known by a lot of people, but there's a very fundamental relationship between our emotions and truth. And also, that is actually very important for how we behave in the workplace. So how can we understand this relationship and why is this so important in business? This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong and I'm speaking today to Hetal Doshi, organizational psychologist, all about emotions and truth in the workplace. And, you know, first of all, thank you so much for coming in to the studio. I understand you're like super busy, so it's great to actually have you here as well.
Thanks so much for having me again, Christine.
Yeah, no worries. And okay, so, I mean, it sounds like a kind of silly question, but what do you actually mean when you talk about emotions?
Not a silly question at all, probably a really powerful one. So if you break it up, the word emotions can be taken out into two, which is E and motions. Motions meaning movement, and E comes from the word energy. And if you ask me, I think the only thing that organization needs to look after is the energy in the organization itself and how it moves between each other and for the company itself. So emotions basically means movement of energy. From me to you, you back right back at me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, you know, we've kind of talked about this off air a little bit, but you've mentioned something so interesting, which is that your emotions can really affect how you tell the truth, essentially. So what's that relationship like? What's the relationship between emotions and truth?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess if you ask anyone, how are you feeling today? They'll just say, okay, not okay, good, not good. But that's always a lie. I have this funny story about a friend of mine, and after a breakup, I asked him how he felt, and he's like, I'm fine. And then, you know, we sat down and chilled for a little while, and I got him to, as we went along, I asked him, you know, dude, how do you really feel? And he was like, yeah, when I asked him how he really felt, he said, oh, I'm angry. I'm like super angry. Gave it a bit more time, asked him how he felt, and he's like, actually super devastated. And I knew he still wasn't getting at the truth. And if he didn't get to the truth, he would take a very long time to behave the way that he wanted to. And so I asked him one more time, and then knowing I'm a psych. So the fourth time I asked him was when I could see his whole body moving. And that's a sign, typically, when a person's being very truthful, you would see that their body is moving quite authentically. And it kind of went in a very rested pose. And he said, well, I'm completely hurt. And that's when I knew he had come to the truth. And only when you come to the truth of how you're really feeling, you can then begin to move in a pathway that can take you to where it is that you need to go. And I think in organizations, a lot of us lie to each other about how we're really feeling. In a country like Malaysia, very much unlike Western countries, we have a very passive-aggressive culture where the truth is one thing in front of the person and then it's completely different behind the person's back. And that prevents things from moving in an organization in an accelerated or expedited manner. And this is what we call the feel and do quotient. So if you're not being accurate about how you feel, you can never do in accordance to what needs to be done.
Right. You know, I think that's definitely true in, especially in Asia, there's this kind of culture of like saving face and kind of your reputation and being, and having kind of one persona in public and one persona in private. And it's really frustrating because it does kind of hold you back a lot. And I think that when it comes to communication, especially, it can be so difficult to actually gather, you know, what is someone's true agenda behind what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you will never really know kind of, you know, what their objectives are unless they're being honest with you, which is so difficult to tell.
Absolutely.
Right.
And given that authenticity is one of the most important things in building a relationship, that can completely come in the way as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that case, right, you know, it sounds like you know, our emotions have a lot of power over us, potential power anyways, and that, you know, it can actually play a huge role in the way that we behave and the way that we, you know, speak to other people, communicate. So what are some ways to kind of flip the script and instead of our emotions controlling us, do it the other way around and control our emotions instead?
Yeah, nice version of the truth, which is how do you flip the switch? So really, when it comes to emotions, what happens to us is, first, a situation takes place. A situation, for example, there has been favoritism in the workplace and you've experienced that for yourself. Instead of thinking about it, when the situation takes place, you automatically feel something about it and you begin to behave in accordance to that feeling. Whether you say it accurately or you don't say it accurately, you behave in accordance to how you feel. And that kind of leads you to unintended outcomes. For example, when you've experienced favoritism in the workplace, you feel dejected and you begin to, like, you know, maybe start taking MCs or not put in too much of work. And the outcome of that is something that you don't intend. The outcome of that could be that you don't get the promotion that you wanted because you were behaving in that way. Or it could be that your boss likes you even less, which is not your intention either. So to flip the switch is to then reverse the entire process. Emotional intelligence is actually the understanding of yourself and the situation in order to achieve an intended outcome rather than an unintended outcome. So what that means is that when a situation takes place, rather than feeling, it's okay to feel. That is data, but it doesn't have to be direction. The first thing that one needs to do is to take a step back and ask, what is it that I really want in this situation? We worked with groups of people who felt that favoritism was a big part of how they were experiencing the organization. We asked them what it is that they really wanted. They said they wanted to be treated fairly. So the idea behind intended outcomes is that you cannot focus on what you can't control. That's why people get emotional. You will never be treated fairly. Even a mother doesn't treat her three children equally fairly. And so a lot of people then move into a new part of their brain that they never did before, which is what can you control in the situation that you really want still? And so they said, okay, well, what we really want still is to still get that promotion and still get a bonus. And we double check with them, can you control that? They said, yes. And the moment you say yes to what it is that you can control, what you want, you begin to feel differently. There are three different feelings that typically people will have. Number one, curious, constructive, and calm assertive. And once you get to that stage, you begin to move in terms of the behavioral choices that you have. And these behaviors can cost you all kinds of positive things in your life rather than bringing the consequences that you didn't want before. So that's pretty much how you flip the switch. Mm. But is that easy? No.
Of course not.
Completely
right?
Not.
Yeah. And you've mentioned some really, really fascinating points. You know, for instance, I love what you said about emotions is data, not direction. I think that's so, so interesting because that is what you feel a lot of the time, that you, you know, when you feel something, it often spurs you to do something about it, as you said, that kind of quotient, right? And to kind of assess that and be like, okay, I'm feeling this right now, but I don't have to act on this instantly. I have to kind of figure out why it is I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling and then act accordingly.
Yeah.
I think it's really fascinating. Then you also talked about control. And in a previous interview, I spoke to another kind of a leadership person. And she said basically that there are two things in life, and there are areas in your control and areas beyond your control. And I think that really resonates here, you know, really – what you can affect is what you can affect, and you shouldn't worry or shouldn't spend so much time feeling the way that you feel about those areas outside of your control.
That's true. It's okay to feel that way, but I guess the more important question is, what is it that you really want in the end anyway?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's time for a quick music break, but after that, I'll continue speaking to Hetal Doshi about the application of emotions in the workplace. So stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. On Enterprise, I'm Christine Wong, and before the break, I was speaking to Hetal Doshi about the relationship between emotions and truth and how our emotions can have a lot of power over us. We kind of talked a little bit about how to control our emotions as well, but I wanted to kind of, let you give me a few examples of how that might manifest in a workplace situation. You mentioned favoritism earlier, but, you know, what are some other ways that this kind of dichotomy might manifest?
Yeah. So we have so many challenges that employees or leaders experience in the workplace. And, you know, I'm a big believer that whatever you experience affects your emotions and therefore everything else as well. I just maybe like to give you a couple of examples of what we do when we experience situations like this. It's hilarious, but it's extremely powerful as well. So we kind of get two people who kind of disagree with what's going on and get them together and kind of call out the truth on it. And we get them to hug.
Okay.
Which is completely strange.
Yeah.
And the idea behind this is that hugging has been proven they're extremely effective outside the workplace. But in essence, when, you know, the first thing that happened to us when we were children or babies was when we started crying, somebody hugged us. And typically it would be our mom or someone who we felt like we were protected by. Mm-hmm. Kind of releases this hormone called oxytocin,
right,
which allows us to build a stronger bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as it's the same gender, we try to do this in the workplace. We get them to kind of hug and they find it completely awkward and they hate it. They kind of almost feel offended by something like this. We don't force them to do it, but once they start hugging, kind of make them hug for like 3 minutes, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
still,
that sounds kind of awkward.
It's super awkward. But it's being human,
right?
And
what does that accomplish? Like afterward, they stop hugging for 3 minutes.
They kind of stop resisting each other for a little while because it's awkward. They kind of resist each other. There is no conversation. It's just hugging, right? Mm. At the end of 3 minutes, they kind of look at each other and they're like, okay, so how do we make things better?
Right.
So kind of, so it kind of
forced,
moves
yeah.
away from decades of issues.
Mm.
And we're not saying that they typically have an issue and then they're completely fine after that. But they realize that they've just been so far apart, they haven't been listening.
Right.
And they're willing to give each other a chance.
So it kind of promotes, I guess, empathy through that kind of physical touch and kind of realizing that the other person that you're arguing with is like a human being, I
Absolutely.
Suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it kind of moves away from the entire notion of hierarchy or superiority or even legacy from prior to that.
Right.
Hugging is not the only thing that we do, though, because sometimes it becomes very just awkward and strange, but there are a lot of mature companies that are okay with trying that out.
Right.
The other thing that we do is something called Tea Talk, where you only have 5 minutes to kind of only talk about how you're feeling in that situation. And the other person talks about how they're feeling in that situation. You're only allowed to talk about how you are feeling, not what you're doing or what you were trying to justify through your behavior.
Right.
And through expressing how you truly feel in this 5-minute conversation and the other as well, you're not allowed to interject at all. And then you take 5 minutes to just pause and then make a decision about what you want to do for the other person. You find that a lot of these long, long war room conversations can be broken down to 15 minutes where people then just make a decision, okay, this is what I want to do for you from here. Because through your story, I care for you.
Mm.
Through that story about how you're feeling, I don't want to make you feel this way anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to do this for you. And what are you going to do for me as well? Very empathetic conversations.
Mm. It kind of sounds like, we earlier talked about how kind of emotions can affect, you know, how you tell the truth and kind of your behaviors and stuff like that. But also what's interesting is that it sounds like your emotions kind of are your truth at the same time as well.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, I think they are your truth. And I think along the way, as human beings, we have come to hide that very well, so much so that we don't even know whether that's the truth or not.
Right.
Ask any business leader, you know, how they're really feeling. They're not going to tell you the truth because they themselves may not even know how they're feeling.
Mm.
Sometimes I take almost about 10 tries of how you're feeling before I can get to a leader actually explaining how they're truly feeling.
Right.
And then you watch their body moving and you know that they're telling the truth. But almost 10 tries before sometimes they figure out how they themselves are feeling.
Right. So, okay, if let's say someone is listening to this and some of this conversation is striking a chord and they want to actually kind of I guess, analyze themselves, but to kind of, you know, ask themselves these questions and kind of ask themselves, you know, to get to the root of how they are truly feeling, right? So what can they do to figure that out?
I think if it is a really difficult situation and if you have come to the truth, you will automatically cry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There will be a small tear, or there will be some discomfort or a final rested position. But typically when it's a really, really distressing situation and when you finally come to the truth, there will be a tear that comes in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like cathartic, right? Like when you kind of reach that point where you have become kind of honest with your own, you know, your own situation, and your kind of body kind of accepts that. Because also I think correct me if I'm wrong, scientists out there, but from what I've kind of read, you know, there are like lots of different chemicals that are released based on the kind of tears that you're crying, based on the emotions that you're feeling at the time. Like there's different kind of composition of tear for like when you're feeling grief, or for when you're crying because you're laughing, or when you're, you know, stuff like that. So it is kind of scientifically supported that, you know, when you reach that point where you are feeling like a genuine emotion, that, you know, that crying kind of helps, I suppose.
Yeah, it kind of automatically comes out, because it might also have been the first time that it's come out. And so psychological safety is a critical component in being able to get people to tell their emotional truths.
Right.
And they can only do that if they feel safe.
And okay, so as my kind of last question, you know, how can you take, you know, what we've talked about and maybe apply it to other people that you see in the workplace? Let's say if you see like a colleague that you think might be kind of struggling, you know, how can you maybe try to help?
That's a really, really good question. What you can do is probably tell them what you observe of them and what you're sensing through their behaviors rather than anything else. So say, for example, hey, you know, when I look at you, sometimes I sense that you're not completely okay. And I thought, you know, might you want to have a conversation about it? So not saying, you know, hey, when I look at you, your face are chalat. No, but more like, hey, I'm really sensing that there might be something that's going on with you. Right. Would you like to have a conversation about it?
So just to kind of give them the option to talk about it, not being accusatory or not being, you know, kind of like, oh, there's something wrong with you. But just to kind of ask them, okay, this is what I've noticed. Do you want to do something about it?
Yeah, a really good word is I'm sensing. So you take ownership for it rather than you say that the person's feeling that way.
Right, okay.
And you probably would say, I'm just not sure where this coming from, but I knew I had to talk to you about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's really nice. And I think, you know, part of kind of this emotional intelligence and part of also just kind of getting to grips with our emotions is if kind of everyone is kind of complicit in it, right? And if everyone kind of works towards being more emotionally true to themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Complicit and conscious about it as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, that is about it for today's Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Thank you so much, Hetal, for speaking to me all about emotions and truth in the workplace.
Thanks, Christine.
It's gotten so real, guys. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app. That's available on the Apple App Store and or Google Play. We're also on Spotify now, which is pretty cool. And you can also head over to our website, bfm.my/podcasts. You've been listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.